The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Baba Yakubu.
In the headlines, work begins on construction of 5,000 housing units at Old Ningo in Greater Accra. Government committed to funding science and technology to drive socioeconomic development. AMA says ongoing demolition at Tiptoe Lane is important to facilitate construction of interchange at Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Calls for protection of Etiwa Forest to avert interruption in water supply to Greater Accra and Eastern regions. Amnesty International accuses major oil companies of failing to report true picture of oil spillage in Nigeria. And Swiss forensic report confirms late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was poisoned. That's a summary with Barbara Yakubu.
President John Mahama says government is negotiating with Brazil for a $1 billion credit facility to be invested in all sectors of the economy, including energy. The amount is to be used to construct about 10,000 affordable housing units to Ghanaians by 2016. President Mahama announced this when he called the sort for work to begin at Saglimin in Old Ningo in Accra to construct 500 houses for lower income groups. Government is committed to collaborating with the Council for Science and Industrial Research, CSIR, to make science a center of socio-economic development. This will increase investment into research and development to address national issues. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Joe Otingeje, announced this at the 24th Annual General Meeting of the CSIR in Accra. The AMA says the ongoing demolition exercise at the Tiptoe Lane at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle is important to facilitate the construction of the interchange. The head of public affairs of the AMA, Numo Blafo, said the assembly will re-strategize to ensure that traders are moved in order to make way for the new interchange to be constructed on schedule. The project coordinator of Arocha Ghana, an NGO, has called on government to treat calls to protect the Etiwa Forest in the Eastern region seriously. This is to avert the construction of the natural reserve, which will spell doom for water supply to the people of the Greater Accra and Eastern regions. Amnesty International has accused major oil companies of not responding the truth, reporting the truth of oil spillage in Nigeria. The agency explains that the oil companies blamed oil spillage on sabotage to avoid paying compensation when corroded pipes are the cause. And a Swiss forensic report has confirmed that the late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was poisoned with radioactive polonium. It says Arafat's official medical records indicates that he died in 2004 from a stroke resulting from blood disorder. The Swiss report says tests on the body showed unexpected high activity of polonium, which moderately supported the poisoning theory.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Now the news in detail. Government is determined to make available about 10,000 affordable housing units to Ghanaians by 2016 as part of efforts to reduce the country's housing deficit estimated at 1.7 million. President John Dramani Mahama announced this when he cut the sod for work to begin on the construction of 5,000 housing units at Sanglemi in Old Ningo in the Greater Accra region. President Mahama said the government is negotiating with Brazil for a $1 billion credit facility to be invested in all sectors of the economy, including energy, said the airports.
Under the government's national housing scheme, people in the lower and middle income brackets are expected to own houses under a new mortgage system which allows them to pay for the houses over a long period. Home Loans, a subsidiary of Home Finance Company, will purchase the houses outright when they are completed and give them out to interested Ghanaians. The proceeds will be lodged in a revolving fund, which will be used to build more affordable housing units. President Mahama said another company will soon begin the construction of more than 4,000 housing units for Ghanaians.
The CARES OAS housing initiative we started here follows the failed attempts under the SPX housing scheme to produce almost 30,000 houses for this country. And so learning from that experience, we decided to adopt a new scheme for delivering housing to our people. And this is the Pania scheme. scheme that we are launching here under this OAS company. Over the next 3 years, we expect by 2016 to be able to look back and see a fair and sizable number of housing units completed. There is another project that will take off, which is to be undertaken by Mrs. ISAL Construct. And so we expect that by 2016, we should be able to say with pride that we did contribute to increasing the housing stock in Ghana.
President Mahama thanked the government of Brazil for supporting Ghana to address the infrastructural challenges.
The government is determined to deliver on its promises in all the sectors that we have determined. I also wish to announce that we and the Brazilian government are in talks to facilitate a $1 billion master facility agreement to finance various infrastructure projects here in Ghana. These will cover the energy sector, water, transport, agriculture, and so many other things that the government has committed to investing into.
The executive chairman of Constructura OAS, Andrew Klokanas, promised to deliver quality housing units for Ghanaians. President Mahama inspected the prepared sites for the houses. Sethia, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, President John Mahama says unless farmers and stakeholders in the agriculture sector acquaint themselves with modern technology, the dream of agriculture becoming the backbone of the country's economy will not be achieved. In a message at a symposium to mark the 20th anniversary of Sofakawa Africa Fund for Extension Education in Accra, President Mahama noted that due to the changing climate and other conditions in the world, individuals in the agricultural sector must be educated and well-informed on their field. We bring you a report by Victoria Ahaji and Sylvia Ajomani. The Sofakawa Africa Fund for Extension Education SAVE initiative started by giving scholarships to individuals to study overseas, but soon realized that this was neither cost-effective nor sustainable. It then decided to focus on enhancing the capacity of universities to develop responsive training programs for mid-career agricultural extension staff. SAVE's guiding philosophy is that African tertiary educational institutions can offer responsive continuing educational opportunities in support of agriculture and rural development. There are 19 universities and colleges from 9 African countries participating in the program. President Mahama, who was the guest of honor for the symposium, in a message commended SAVE for the initiative and called on all to embrace the program. Deputy Minister of Food and Agriculture, Ahmed Yakubu Al-Hassan, said Ghana has benefited greatly from the SAVE program. He said several hundred graduates from the program are positioned in every district working for the Ministry of Food and Agriculture and NGOs in various leadership roles.
Over 4,000 extension staff are working in various agricultural institutions across Africa, noting that there are 19 African universities that are participating in the same program. In Ghana, it's only University of Cape Coast and the Kwanzaa to agricultural colleges. What is also significant about this particular program is that there's a very strong linkage between the universities and the ministries of agriculture to make demands as to what the kind of extension staff they want trained, and through that, the universities also tailor make their syllabuses to respond to the needs of the ministers.
A former vice chancellor of the University of Cape Coast, Very Reverend Professor S.K. Japon, believes it is time universities across the country introduce agriculture extension program. The chairman of NAPRON Foundation, Yohi Sasakawa, who founded the Sasakawa Africa Fund for Extension Education, called on stakeholders in Africa's agricultural development to work together to nurture leaders in agricultural extension for the sustainable growth of Africa's agriculture. Victoria Haji and Sylvia Germani's report.
And away from the presidency, the Ministry of Food and Agriculture says empowering the smallholder farmer to adopt conventional and organic farming practices will ensure food security, sovereignty and sustainability. The practice, the ministry noted, will also raise income levels of the rural poor and curb the rural-urban drift. The Director of Crop Services, Emmanuel Asantikorobia, stated this on behalf of the sector minister at the launch of productivity and profitability of organic and conventional farming systems in Accra. Yaya Kwamwa and Mariam Foster-Tete have our report.
Ecological organic agriculture practices are increasingly being recognized as pivotal in improving food security in Africa, especially in challenging environments for the smallholder sector. The Director for Crop Services, Emmanuel Asante-Corbia, emphasized the need for researchers and stakeholders in the sector to keep up with the quest to find new ways of improving agriculture in the face of challenges of climate change and productivity. Organic agriculture and conventional farming methods, he noted, have different effects on the climate. Mr. Asante-Corbia said conventional farming systems are known to bring rapid increase in yields in a short time, but contribute to the increase in greenhouse gases, while organic agriculture systems are believed to maintain and improve productivity of soils in the long run, but produce comparatively lower yields. He expressed the ministry's satisfaction for the new technology being introduced in the country.
But by building the capacity of smallholders to continue to sustainably go about their activities is the way forward, because it's difficult for the smallholder farmer to be able to afford the needed inputs for conventional farming. So we will have to do a lot to make sure that they survive sustainably once they form the bulk of our food production.
The program officer of the Forum of Agricultural Research in Africa, Nelson Ojijo, said increase in the agricultural productivity demands adopting best practices in the food supply chain. He explained the advantages of organic and conventional systems of farming.
The concept of organic agriculture is coming in because the world has realized that even though we can increase food production by being high input intensive, there are also other adverse effects that come with this sort of agricultural system. So this is an alternative that looks into the future, because if we continue doing agriculture the way we are doing, there are lots of costs to the environment that we'll have to contend with. So this is just providing an alternative that will ensure that we have food for now and in the future, whereas at the same time preserving our environment so that we can ensure a future for our posterity.
The program, which is being piloted in Ghana and Kenya, is being executed by the Ghana government, the University of Ghana, the Swiss Development Corporation, and other stakeholders.
That was a report by Yaya Kwamua and Mariam Foster-Tete.
The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Joe Otingeje, has reaffirmed government's commitment to funding scientific and industrial research. Dr. Otingeje said government will collaborate with the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, CSIR, to make science, technology and innovation the center of socio-economic development to drive the Better Ghana agenda. He added that it will also increase investment into research and development to address national issues. Dr. Otingeje was speaking at the 24th Annual General Meeting of the CSIR in Accra. Nonamo Mari and Priscilla Apias report.
The 24th Annual General Meeting of the CSIR centers on the importance, challenges and achievements of the Council. The CSIR was established to organize and coordinate scientific research and development activities. It is also to advise the government on scientific and technological advancements likely to be important for the development of Ghana. Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Joe Otingeje, urged the CSIR to revisit its Technology for Livelihood programs on TV as an avenue to making research findings available to the public to help improve science culture. He said, this will also create awareness among Ghanaians and ensure that the benefits of science and technology reaches every community. Dr. Otingeje's statement was read on his behalf by a Deputy Minister of Sector, Dr. Mushebu Muhammad Alfa.
CSIR products and services also contribute to employment creation, income generation, poverty reduction, environmental sustainability, and improvement in livelihoods of communities across the country. The ministry that is elected in 2010 gave credit to government about intention to lift science, technology and innovation to the higher levels through the publication and launch of the National Science, Technology and Innovation Policy document. This was done in order to take advantage of the plethora of improvements that are being made globally in technologies that are transforming economies and bringing about improvements in the lives of people across the globe.
Director General of CSIR, Dr. Abdullahi Salifu.
That was a report filed by Nanamo Umari and Priscilla Apia.
Arata Ghana, an NGO engaged in research, environmental education and protection of natural areas, is calling on the government to treat calls to protect the Itiwa forest in the eastern region seriously, according to the project coordinator of the organization, Theresa Ma Owi Aiku. The destruction of the natural reserve could spell doom for water supply in parts of the Greater Accra region. She spoke to Tekija.
The Itiwa Forest is a very important forest in Ghana, and it's the headwaters for three rivers in Ghana. We said most parts of Accra and the eastern region, and the headwaters for the Ayensu, Densu, and Birin. The Densu flows into the Weja Dam where we get our water, and we need to protect it because there's so much going on there. There's galamse, illegal logging, and even the government wants to mine bauxite. But we are thinking that in the short term, the country may get revenue, but then in the long term it's going to be destroyed. And if Atiwa goes, then you know that a lot of people are going to suffer from water shortage, then the animals there are going to suffer, and the communities, because they have their livelihood from the forest as well.
What would you like Atiwa Forest to become?
We hope that in the long term Atiwa Forest to be gazetted to be a national park.
Atiwa provides the headwaters for some rivers. Do you think that the current activities going on in the forest could be a sign of a looming danger, let's say the eastern region and Greater Accra?
Yes, because at the moment Birim is almost gone, and the Densu is also gradually getting polluted. We need to protect the water because we know water is life.
Apart from the international summit, what other moves have you put in place to ensure the safety, a pristine forest for flora and fauna?
We have created a website which is www.saveatiwa.com.gh, where you can find a petition which we would like to take to the government. You can go there and just sign the petition.
That was the project coordinator of Arocha Ghana, Theresa Ma Owi Aiku, on the need to protect the Itiwa forest.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Work begins on construction of 5,000 housing units at Oningo in Greater Accra. Government committed to funding science and technology to drive socio-economic development. AMA says ongoing demolition at Tiptoe Lane is important to facilitate construction of interchange at Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Calls for protection of Itiwa Forest to avert interruption in water supply to Greater Accra and eastern regions. Amnesty International accuses major oil companies of failing to report true picture of oil spillage in Nigeria. And Swiss forensic report confirms late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was poisoned. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news continues. The head of public affairs of the AMA, Numo Blafo, says the ongoing demolition exercise being undertaken at Tiptoe Lane at the Kwame Nkrumah Circle has not stalled, as reported. He said the traders need to be moved in order to make way for the new interchange to be constructed, and thus the assembly will re-strategize to make it possible. He spoke to Agatha Sabwa.
The Kwame Nkrumah Circle that we all know is now going to be an interchange. We need to create access for incoming and outgoing. I mean, we have to make diversions and all that. So we cannot keep on to keep certain illegalities that have been, I mean, allowed to stay for a long time. And it is time we stand up to what is not right. What happened, in short, isn't something that should have happened. But we had people who, because of, I would say, political points or whatever, turned the whole issue into another problem. But then, whatever it is, the issue has not solved. But then, I think whatever happens, there should be a re-strategizing to make sure that the aim is achieved, so that at least we can have free flow of traffic, so that whatever construction is going to happen there won't create so much bottleneck to affect or to inconvenience others.
No, have you also heard complaints by the traders that you sprung a surprise on them, in that you did not give them enough notice before storming the place?
I think this is not the first time people will say AMA or government has not, informed them of upcoming events or whatever. So it is an excuse that we've heard and heard and heard, and this is not the time for us to go back listening to what will be said, because we have already informed them so many times, and they are aware that what they are doing or where they are operating, they shouldn't be operating there.
That was the head of public affairs of the AMA, Numu Blafo, talking to Agatha Samwa.
The Ghana Police Service has established a command and staff college at Winneba in the central region. The college, which is the second advanced police training institute, is to be established in West Africa, will offer training to senior police officers. Inaugurating the college at Winneba, the vice president and chairman of the police council, Kwesi Emisa Asa, was optimistic that the college will offer the needed skills and training to the officers to meet modern policing requirements. He observed that crime has increased in sophistication, hence the need to upgrade the skills and knowledge of the police to deal with it. The first batch of 26 officers were inducted into the college. Earlier, 405 general police recruits passed out after 6 months of intensive training in basic policing, a report by Bubu Klinogo.
The idea of the establishment of the Ghana Police Command and Staff College has been on the drawing board for about 30 years. Due to its absence, senior police officers had to resort to the Ghana Armed Forces Command and Staff College, GIMPA, the Nigerian Police Command and Staff College, and other international institutions for training. The Vice President, Kwesi Emisa Asa, observed that these institutions have not been able to meet the needs of the police in view of the fact that they were not established primarily for the Ghana Police Service.
It is also to be noted that their courses were not specifically tailored to cover the needs of a law enforcement agency. Crime in general has increased in sophistication, and this has increased the need for police systems to harness their strength, resources and training to match the complexity of the challenges. It is therefore proper for the Ghana Police Service to develop the requisite manpower with a view to acquire professional and operational skills and knowledge.
The Inspector General of Police, Mohammed Ahmed Al Hassan, stated that the police administration is committed to ensuring excellence.
Bubu Klinogo reporting.
The GNPC drillship account opened at the Ghana International Bank was at the behest of the Ghana High Commission in London. The Acting Controller and Accountant General, Mrs. Grace Adru, told the Jagmeen Debt Commission in Accra yesterday that the department opened the account and produced a copy of a directive from the High Commission authorizing the transaction. We bring you NSOBN's report.
At an earlier sitting, the commission was told that an amount was opened at the Ghana International Bank in London, into which the lodgement of the balance from the sale was made. However, there was no documental evidence to back the claim. The Acting Controller and Accountant General, Mrs. Grace Azori, produced a letter which directed the department to open the account. According to the information before the commission, it was sold for $24 million, $19.5 million out of the amount was used to defray GNPC's indebtedness to Societe Generale and $1 million for legal fees. The bone of contention now is the whereabouts of the $3.5 million. Mrs. Azori tendered in evidence a letter from Ghana's High Commission in London directing the Controller and Accountant General's Department to open the drillship account.
Are you in a position to produce bank statements to this as far as that account is concerned?
My Lord, not today, but we believe that by next we should be able to do that. We requested for this and believe by next we should be.
Are you also in a position to provide copies of all transactions on the said account?
My Lord, we do have copies of some of the transactions that we maintain.
You have them here?
Yes, we requested for the others from our office in the Ghana High Commission in London.
Okay, can we have those copies that you have over here? Can you confirm whether this account is still operational?
No, the account is no longer operational.
Can you also confirm the signatories of the said account since its inception?
My Lord, we'll confirm that together with the bank statements.
Yes. Certain payments have been made out of this account, this drillship account. One of them being an amount of $250,000 US dollars. This was paid transferred to Aquatic Engineering and Construction Limited. Was this money paid to Aquatic Engineering and Construction Limited, or was it actually paid to engineer? You have evidence of that payment?
We have the authority to the Treasury Officer to instruct Ghana International to transfer the money. I believe the feedback from the bank to confirm that it's been, but otherwise on the these transactions was confirmed from them that it's been cleared that on the bank statement. We just want them to analyze the bank statement properly, so that's why we don't have it.
Mr. Sazori said in 2005, Ghana's High Commission requested the closure of the account and a balance to another account at the Ghana International Bank with the number 00011916100.
That was Ernest Avini's report.
The Bank of Austria has disowned claims by businessman Alfred Agwesiwoyomi that it provided funding for projects in Ghana, including CAN 2008. The bank, in response to a letter from the police ID through the diplomatic channel by Mutual Legal Assistance, indicated that its letter of support to Mr. Woyomi did not and does not in any way constitute an agreement to provide funding for any project in the country. It also noted that the document was not a binding offer. The letter from the Bank of Austria, of which a copy was tendered in evidence, stated that the letter of support was no effect in terms of any financial flow from the bank to the government of Ghana. This was disclosed by the ninth prosecution witness by ASP, witness ASP Edward Odami Ochri, when he mounted the witness box to continue with his evidence in chief.
Members of Parliament have asked government to ensure all public facilities in order to ensure adequate compensation in the event of a fire outbreak or any other mishap. The suggestion was made by the MP for Efutu, Alex Afenyo-Markin, when he presented a statement in the House on a recent fire outbreak at the Winneba Municipal Hospital. He said the unpredictable nature of fires call for the state to be always prepared for such eventualities. Ms. Afenyo-Markin further stated that reconstruction efforts of state property after a fire disaster always come at a cost to the public purse. He noted that having an insurance cover on public buildings will safeguard the public purse of excessive spending.
A series of programs to commemorate the 1 year of the death of former Vice President Alhaji Aliu Mahama has been announced in Accra. The chairman of the planning committee for the first anniversary celebration, Engineer Kwesi Adeyesi, said the anniversary is being marked to remind Ghanaians of a statesman who appealed to both sides of the political divide. Engineer Adeyesi, who disclosed this at a press briefing in Accra, said the anniversary is also aimed at achieving the former Vice President's goal of creating a disciplined society.
Now, on the foreign front, Amnesty International has accused major oil companies, including Shell, of failing to report the true picture of oil spills in Nigeria. Amnesty says oil companies often blame oil spills on sabotage in order to get out of paying compensation when corroded pipes are the cause. The report says the process of cleaning up the oil spills is completely discredited. But Shell disagrees, saying the issue of theft of crude oil still remains the main cause of oil pollution in the Delta region. Oil spills are having an appalling environmental impact on the Niger Delta, and they are happening at an alarming rate.
And the late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat is said to have been poisoned with radioactive polonium. A Swiss forensic report reconfirmed this says Arafat's official medical records indicates that he died in 2004 from a stroke resulting from a blood disorder, but his body was exhumed last year amid continuing claims he was murdered. The Swiss report said tests on the body showed unexpected high activity of polonium, which moderately supported the poisoning theory. Many Palestinians and others have long believed that Israel poisoned Arafat. Others allege that he had AIDS or cancer, but Israel has consistently denied any involvement.
And that's when they knew the main point again. As part of efforts to reduce the country's housing deficit, estimated at 1.7 million, government has started the construction of about 10,000 affordable housing units to Ghanaians by 2016. The president, John Dramani Mahama, made this known when he cut a sword for work to begin on the construction of 5,000 housing units at Sanglini in Old Bingo in the Greater Accra region. Government is committed to collaborate with the Council for Science and Industrial Research, CSIR, to make science the center of socioeconomic development, the Minister of Environment, Science and Technology and Innovation, Dr. Jowotinji, said this at the 24th Annual General Meeting of the CSIR in Accra. And a Swiss forensic report has confirmed that the late Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was poisoned with radioactive polonium. It says Arafat's official medical records indicate that he died in 2004 from a stroke resulting from a blood disorder. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson.